Just to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're using the Church Bible, it's one on page 1178. And I want us to look at a series of statements that Paul makes in verses 16 through to verse 18. Verse 18 is the verse that was displayed at the beginning of the service. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Harvest Thanksgiving, our harvest services. Few of us today do our gardens out of necessity. A number of us do them out of pleasure, but if push came to shove, we could manage to get through the winter without the provision that we have from our gardens. But I'm old enough to remember a generation that needed to do that. It was important that crops were not only harvested, but that they were properly protected and cared for in order to get the family through the winter. Pigs and sheep were kept, and they were slaughtered at appropriate times in order that there might be provision for the family and at times for the wider community. But because we don't do our gardens in the same way, many of us miss out on the joy of picking fruit. Last year, for Father's Day, my daughters gave me some money, and they said, "Go out and buy something for your garden, Dad." So I went out and I bought an apple tree, which didn't bear any fruit last year. But this year, it bore the multiple crop of three apples. And it was great. I wasn't sure if they were ripe or not, but this week we went out and we picked the first of those. And it was lovely to be able to cut it and to realize that it was ripe enough to eat. And there's a pleasure in reaping the harvest. But because we don't do our gardens, we don't realize how vulnerable life can be. If there's too little sun, then the fruit doesn't ripen. If there's too much rain, it goes rotten. If there are certain flies around, then the carrots and things like that will get eaten up and destroyed. And if there are those little eggs that are laid on our cabbages, it isn't long. I can see Keith smiling there. Before they are hatched into caterpillars, and we see our cabbages being eaten away in front of us. And aren't we all delighted, perhaps I shouldn't say this, for slug pellets, because they are a great nuisance in our gardens. But when we live that close to the soil, we realize how vulnerable we can be and how much we need the help of God. Now, I read to you those three verses this morning. It's three verses, it's one sentence, but there are three instructions. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the first thing that I want to point out this morning is God's will for you. It's easy in the world in which we live to feel as though we are less than a cog in a machine. When we are producing our own gardens and things like that, we know how important it is for us to be disciplined. But I'm sure many of you are like Linda and I. I guess say when we're preparing a meal, when Linda's preparing a meal and she goes to the cupboard and she says, "Oh, I've run out of this." I say, "Don't worry, I'll nip down the road to Asda." And we can do that so easily. And we just take so many things for granted. And yet, God is interested in each of us. This morning, when I began the service, I read from Psalm 100, that wonderful psalm which calls the whole earth to give thanks to the Lord. And there are a number of psalms that do that. So, the first thing that I want to say this morning is on this harvest service that God calls the whole earth. He calls you, he calls me to praise him with thankfulness. And I want us to look at these three instructions this morning. And that brings us to my second point. The first point is that God has got an interest. God has got a will for each of us. But in my second point this morning, I want us to see a trilogy. I was tempted to use the word Trinity, but I don't want us to get confused with the God that we worship. But a trilogy, three things that make up our worship. Three things, if you like, that make up our thanksgiving this morning. There is rejoicing, there is prayer, and there is thanksgiving. Now, where do we begin in this trilogy? Well, obviously, if we take the order that it is here in the way Paul is concluding this letter to the Thessalonians, well, we've got to say that we begin by rejoicing. But that's not where I want to begin this morning. I want us to see this, these three things, in effect, as an unbroken circle. And I want to join the circle, not at the beginning or at the end, but in the middle. And in verse 17, Paul actually uses the word to pray. He says, "Pray without ceasing." So at this harvest time, I want to remind us of the importance of prayer. I said to you earlier, too little sun, the crops don't ripen. Too much rain, things will rot. And it's easy for us to think that we have got everything sorted out. But I want to ask you, who here this morning woke up maybe at 5:30 and said, "Sun, rise"? None of us did we? We are reliant upon the Creator God. We are reliant on one bigger than ourselves. And when we pray, we are confessing that we need God. The Lord said to his disciples the night he was betrayed, "Without me, you can do nothing." And I'm sure if I was to go around and ask the gardeners this year, "How did your garden grow this year? What did you produce?" I remember a few years ago in our garden here, we had this prolific abundance of sweet peas. They were tall, they were over the fence, and people were saying, "Oh, lovely to see those sweet peas." But you know, no matter how we've tried since, we haven't been able to produce such a show. And we cannot do it all ourselves. Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing. And at this harvest time, I want to call each of us to admit the fact that without him, we can do nothing. But Paul goes on and he says that we are to thank. And I was dealing with this with the children. Give thanks in all circumstances. In the New King James Version, it simply says, in everything, give thanks. And our lives are to be marked by thanksgiving. Again, when I was speaking with the children this morning, I mentioned the fact that we live in a world where people know their rights. They know what they have the right to, what their privileges are, but that at times can lead us to a demonstration of selfishness. It can make us a thankless people. But there is nothing quite so delightful as hearing somebody say thank you, or in this day and age of emails and texts and WhatsApp, to actually get a pretty little card or a handwritten note where somebody has taken the effort to say, I want to thank you for what you did. And Paul says here, in everything, give thanks. The way it's written in the ESV, give thanks in all circumstances. Let's be honest, we don't find it easy when the harvest has failed, do we? We don't find it easy when we are being troubled with that bad back, with those knees that won't work, with that headache that won't go away. But Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, because we worship a God who is in control, and we worship a God who is able to help us in every situation in life. And then if we go back to the beginning of these verses and to the third part of the circle, we are told to rejoice. Because friends, if we come to the point where we are prepared to say, I can't do it on my own, I need the help of God, so we start in prayer, we then don't have the burden of responsibility. If we recognize what God is doing and we have a spirit of thankfulness, then it makes a huge difference. If we're grumbling, I want this, I want that, why has that failed? That's not thankfulness. But if we are able to say, okay, I am going through a difficult time, but I wonder what God wants to teach me in this. And I'm grateful, Lord, that even though I can't cope with myself, I can turn to you, and I know that you will sustain me. Our perspective on life will be different, and we will then have a true spirit of worship. So this trilogy of worship, rejoice, pray, thank. May that mark our harvest thanksgiving this year. But Paul doesn't simply leave us on the level of the harvest or the natural world. Notice what he says in verse 18. He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the focus of our worship, the focus of our thanks, is not some God. You know, we live in a world that has many false gods. And if you go to certain countries, they have got a god of the river, they have got a god of the moon, they have a god of the harvest, they have god of this, they have god of that. But no, we worship one God. And our worship is to be focused in Christ Jesus. Now, many of us, most of us, when we think of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of his work at Calvary. And yet, friends, the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word. Well, right back in the beginning of Genesis, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But who was it who created the heavens and the earth? Was it simply our God the Father? No, if we go to John's Gospel, and it might help you actually to turn there with me this morning, John chapter 1 and verse 3. Because we are here given John's description of the creation. If we start in verse 1, it'll put it into its context. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now if you go down to verse 14, it tells you who the Word was. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who became flesh in God? The Lord Jesus Christ. So now read verse 1 again. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And it was the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke at creation. So this harvest time, we need to thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his work that he did in creating this world. Notice, John goes on and says, without him was not anything made. And this means that from the dawn of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has been responsible for all creation, for all life that has been given to us. The Psalms summarize this in a wonderful way. Psalm 139, for example, says to us in verses 13 to 16, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. What a wonderful, powerful description that the unborn child. This morning we've mentioned Joseph, we've mentioned Thomas. These children are not a mere accident. They are the work of God. God, and this wonderful picture, has knitted me together in my mother's womb. Now, I wouldn't know one end of a knitting pattern from another. And I see Linda clicking away with her needles, and I think it's amazing what she's creating there. And then every so often, she'll say, oh, blow. And off come the stitches. And she's got to go back to the beginning. But we have given this wonderful picture here that God has knitted us together in our mother's womb. And Psalm 127 says to us that each child is a gift from the Lord. And we worship this morning the Creator God. And that's why when children are born, we hold Thanksgiving services for the birth of children. Parents dedicate themselves to bring their children up in the things of God. Why? Because we are thankful for the gift of life, but we are thankful for the life that he gives to us and that we are able to benefit from. So going back to John, it says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all life. He is the source of physical life, and he is the source of spiritual life. Paul, when he was preaching in Athens, quoted a Greek poet, probably, but it's included in Scripture because it's a glorious truth. And Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. Our lives have been given to us by God. in Psalm 139. We were told about the measurement of our days. Those of us who struggle with the thought of death and, oh, I haven't lived long enough. Friends, our days are numbered by God. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In Him we live and move and have our being. And we can be grateful for that. The old song that was sung by the slaves in the cotton fields was, in His hand, He's got the whole world in His hand, isn't He? And we thank God for that. We are to give Him thanks, and in everything we are to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for His work in giving to us physical life. But remember what He said when He was going to the grave of His friend Lazarus? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me shall not perish or shall not die. And if he die, then he will be raised again. And we are so grateful for this, that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have physical life. In the Lord Jesus Christ we have spiritual life. So God is interested in you this Harvest Sunday. We are to worship God in rejoicing, in prayer, in thanksgiving. We are to focus our thanks in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the final point that I want to make this morning is the benefit of thanks. I've already made reference to it a number of times, haven't I? We live in a culture that knows its rights. But sadly, that produces a thankless spirit. It produces a bitter spirit. I know my rights. That shouldn't happen to me. That person should not have spoken to me. And we can so often be defensive. But Harvest reminds us that everything that we have has been given by God. And I want to just give some practical suggestions as we take the benefits of this harvest season this morning. Do you say grace at the beginning of your meals, as a family, as an individual? Well, I want to suggest that perhaps starting with this Harvest Sunday, you take time to give thanks to God for what He's provided. But what about the lady or the man in your home who is the one who does the regular preparation? Do they get thanked for what they have done? Let's engender this spirit of thanksgiving. What about those who work for us? The shop workers, the stall holders, the food processors, the transport drivers, the farm workers. Now, some of these people, they are just ideas. We don't see the farm workers, the majority of us, personally. We don't know the transport drivers. But next time you go through the checkout at Asda or Tesco, give it a smile. That was what the Australians call the checkout chick. And thank you for your help this morning. Because if you smile at her and thank her, it might make her day, but it'll certainly show that you are living in obedience to the Word of God. Give thanks for the benefit of our climate. How many of us, the first time we meet people, oh, in a miserable day today, oh, it's cold, oh, it's too hot. Let's thank God we don't live in a desert. Let's thank God that we are not trapped on some ice cap. And yet we live in this wonderful temperate climate that gives us four seasons and reminds us of the faithfulness of God. And let's remind ourselves of all that we have that others don't have. This morning, we had the opportunity of bringing our dry goods in order to give them to the homeless. We have homes. The majority of us live in a context where we have mutual respect for one another. Let's give thanks that we are not one of the victims of abuse that are immediately around us. Let us give thanks that even though we may have real trials in our lives, we are not those who are horribly neglected by members of our family or by those who should be caring for us. Thanks, in effect, honours other people. Yes, we are to give thanks to God. But it is good and right to give thanks to those around us that God has given to help us as we face the issues and the problems of our lives. Do we all do well at this? Let's be honest. We can be ungrateful. We can be selfish. Therefore, we are sinners. Let's give thanks that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken our sin, and rather than God having to judge us and condemn us, we can give thanks that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was condemned in our place. So when we consider all that God has given us in life here on earth and in eternal life in his presence through the forgiveness of sins, how do we respond? Well, the psalmist asks that question himself. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to us? I will take the cup of salvation and I will call on the name of the Lord. Will you do that this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to condemn. He came to save. He offers forgiveness. He offers provision this morning. Will you take it? You say, oh, Bernard, that's selfish. No. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Take it, enjoy it, and may God bless you as we give thanks for the harvest this year. Amen. Our final hymn in the hymn book, it'll be up on the screen, is 876. I don't know the hymn, and I ask.